come share your heart. I really enjoyed just connecting with you over the weekend. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So 75% of us probably in this room, if we were to say, recent studies have shown that 75% of Americans would say they're struggling with loneliness. Over 20% of us, either at some point or right now, currently, are struggling with some form of anxiety or depression. Another 25% of us have experienced abuse of some kind, whether that's from a loved one, a spouse, or in your past. And many of us are struggling with shame and guilt and maybe self-harm, negative thoughts, past hurt. And so we go into Christianity and we think maybe that God is the author of these things. Maybe he's the one who's giving us things. Most of us, we don't trust that God actually loves us without condition. We think there's a string attached somewhere that the shoe is going to drop. Many of us are held prisoners to our past sin. We don't think that God could ever look past that God could ever really forgive that sin. If we're honest, we don't think we're good enough most days. We're scared to go to God when we sin because we have this fearful look. We have this fearful expectation of what God may think of us. We're scared. We question if we're even saved some days. We question if God even cares about what we're going through. And I think this is partly because we don't really believe we're forgiven. We don't really believe that what Jesus did was enough. We don't even really know what the cross accomplished. And you know that Jesus promised us rest, not burden, not confusion, not fear. He said the truth would set us free. And so if what you're hearing from God or about God is not setting you free, then this morning, my friends, that is not the truth. Jesus came to give us rest. He came to set us free. And if what we're hearing about Jesus is not giving us rest, then it is not Jesus. And so this morning, I want to share with you some good news. And the good news is that you can live free from the shame and the guilt and even the sin that so trips you up. And I think it's through understanding our total forgiveness in Christ. So as we look at this, Hebrews 9:22, we're just going to jump right in. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So this means it's not about our confession, our asking, our pleading, our begging, our tears, our constant repentance. Forgiveness only comes through shed blood. How many times did Jesus hang on that cross and shed his blood? One time. And since he died one time, he shed his blood one time, forgiveness is offered, as the book of Hebrews will show us, once and for all. You see, we struggle with this because humanity, we have a sin-by-sin system for forgiving sin. If someone harms me, I have to forgive them in the moment. It's hard for us to forgive someone of all their sins because we don't even know that yet. But if you notice, all of your sins were in the future when Christ died. And he looked down the timeline of all of our lives, and he's chosen to take all of them upon himself and by one offering make us perfect forever. So God only forgives with shed blood. We see in Hebrews 7:27 that he has no need, like those high priests of the old covenant, to offer sacrifices daily. Since he did this, he offered himself, he did this once for all when he offered himself. Since Jesus is not dying daily, you are not being forgiven daily. That's old covenant. The new covenant truth is that since Jesus died once, it was for all time. Therefore, you are forgiven one time for all time. We have to look to the cross and we have to ask ourselves, did what Jesus do work? Was it enough? Did he come and do what he accomplished, or does Jesus need to come down every time you sin and die over again? Because it's only, we only get forgiveness through shed blood. So if we think we are being progressively forgiven, then what we're saying is that what Jesus did the first time wasn't enough. And that's why Hebrews 9, 25 and 26 says he doesn't have to offer himself up repeatedly like the priests of the old covenant. Why? Because he took it all away. We get clarity. In Hebrews 10, it says, "And by that will we have been made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now for you intellectuals out there, "For by a single offering he has perfected," for how long? Till you mess up again? Till you go do your Bible study? For all time. This doesn't mean that you're perfectly behaved. This doesn't mean you're going to live perfectly. This means that what Jesus has done for you has perfectly worked. He's cleansed you. He's perfected you one time for all time. The message this morning, in the middle of your doubt and shame and guilt, is that the cross worked. There's nothing that needs to be added. It is finished. Sound familiar? And so, you're perfectly clean. You're not progressively getting clean. It's done. That's why Jesus is seated. We see this in Hebrews 10, 12. We see that when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, what did he do? He sat down. Now, this is important because in the old covenant, there was no chair in the temple. The priests could never sit down. They could never stop. They were constantly offering sacrifices. The work was never done. But when our priest offered for one time his sacrifice, guess what he did? He sat down. He's chilling. And you know what he's done to you, saint? Ephesians 2:6 says he's raised you up and he seated you with Christ. So are you trying to do what Christ has already done, or are you chilling with your Savior? The work is done. That's why in Colossians 1:14 and Ephesians 1:7, it says we have forgiveness. It's a past tense deal. 1 John 2:12 says our sins have been forgiven. I heard this story the other day about Thomas Edison. Y'all know Thomas Edison. He's the light bulb guy, right? And so his whole team was creating the first light bulb. And man, they were spending all day, 24 hours around the clock, creating this first light bulb. And he had an intern with him, and they had finished the work, and he's exhausted at this point. And he looks over, and he hands the light bulb to a boy, and he says, "Take it upstairs and go get it tested." So the boy gets the bulb, and he's going up the stairs and going up the step, and I mean, he is anxious, right? And right as he gets to that last step, somehow he drops the bulb. And so Thomas Edison and his team, they have to go and do it again. So they're working overtime to get this bulb completed. And as he's finished, he looks over to the boy and he hands him the bulb and says, "Take it up." Wow. As if the boy had never sinned. As if the boy had never made a mistake, Thomas Edison used him. You see, it's similar to our relationship with God. Hebrews 8:12, Hebrews 10 says that God remembers our sins no more, that God is not the one accusing you, that the voice that you are hearing, it no longer defines you. The sins of your past, your present, and your future no longer define you. That God's love for you is not changing, it's unchanging, it's relentless. His love can never be exhausted. He will never get tired of loving you. And your past, your present, and your future sins will never disqualify you from being loved or used by God. He uses you as if you never made a mistake. He never brings up that past mistake, that past sin. And so he's not the one shaming you. Romans 8:1 says he's not the one condemning you. And so why does this matter this morning? I think knowing our total forgiveness, it allows us to finally stop being scared of God. We can go to him. In that moment of our worst moment and those mistakes, we can go to him knowing he's not shaking his head in disgust, that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he knows how difficult it is down here, that he's living inside of us, that he actually wants us to go to him, that he keeps no record of our wrongs, that he's not mad at us, that we can actually trust him, that you can actually talk to your heavenly Father, knowing he loves you and cares for you deeply. So because of our total forgiveness, because of this once for all finished work of Christ, we can have confidence. 1 John 4:17 says this, "Love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment." Why? Because as he, Jesus, is, so also are we in this world. Not one day in heaven, but right now, as children of God, God has made us like his son. This doesn't mean we're Jesus or we're God, but the same acceptance and righteousness and holiness that Jesus has before the Father, we have before the Father. Confidence, not fear. Why? Jesus took away your sins. It's done. We're accepted. Since Jesus was treated like us on the cross, we will be treated like him on the day of judgment. You see, that's the gospel, that Jesus was judged so that we wouldn't have to. He took what we deserve so that we could get what he deserved forever. That is called grace, my friends. Grace means we get what we don't deserve. We get what we cannot earn. It's all free. It's all a gift because Jesus paid it all. That's why in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says that in Christ, he's become wisdom from God. He's become to us our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's why in John 3:18, it says that we won't be punished for our sins. Hebrews 9:28 says this, that after offering himself once to bear the sins of many, he will appear a second time without reference to sin to those who can eagerly await him. Do you know you can eagerly await your Savior appearing from heaven? That his return is exciting for us believers? That we can have confidence in that day? That there is great hope that he will wipe away every tear? He isn't going to bring up your sins. He isn't even going to mention them. There's not going to be a film of your sins in heaven starring Matt Damon. Or whatever. He took it all away. The record has been taken away. Hebrews 8:12, he remembers your sins no more. Psalms 103:12, he has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. Colossians 2:14 says he's canceled the record of debt. It reminds me when I was in fifth grade, I had my first male teacher and I was not good with authority, okay? And I was a troublemaker, let me tell you. And in fifth grade, they had like this punishment board and you had to like move your dot over. You know, maybe some of y'all had that. Well, he had to make an entire other board for me because my dot kept going. I'm not even kidding. It's a true story. And so one day he was just sick of me. He had enough. He said, "Zach, that's going on your record." I was like, "Huh? My record? Like, what does that mean? Am I going to have to like, I don't even know, work at McDonald's?" And no offense if you work at McDonald's, but that's just, I just didn't know. McDonald's is great, okay? But I just didn't know at that time what the lowest job was, okay? And I was like, am I going to even be able to graduate fifth grade? Like, what's going to happen? And you know, I'm 25, I'm about to be 26, and I've never seen that record. But all year long, he held that record over my head, said, "Zach, it's going to be on your record." And you know, Jesus, if we will, he came into my classroom and he said, "Oh, that record." And he saw all the mistakes on that. And he says, "You know what? I'm going to tear up that record once and for all. I am not putting a record over your head to motivate you. I'm not keeping a record of your wrongs. No, God is not up in heaven writing down everything we do wrong, my friends. He doesn't keep a record. He's living in your heart, reminding you of everything he has done right for you and to you. That's why Romans 15:7 says that we are accepted and that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change on judgment day. That's why Jude 24 gives us confidence. It says, "Now to him," Jesus. I hope you know this morning, But the message is, it's all about Jesus and what he's done. And we can take great assurance in that. It's to him who's able to keep us from stumbling and to present you blameless. No one or nothing can blame you. It's God's work and it's his continued work that will present you blameless. It's not about your ability. It's not about your best effort. It's not about your faithfulness. It's about Jesus that keeps you blameless. That's why the rest of the New Testament, Colossians 1:22 and 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says that we're blameless. That's why Romans 8:1 says that there's no condemnation. Punish is not in God's vocabulary with you, child of God. You realize that? God is not punishing you. God will never punish you. God is not condemning you. That is not in his language. And what I love as I've studied the New Testament is that in Acts 17 and 1 John 5 and 2 Timothy 4, it actually says that on that last day that Jesus will be our judge. And here's why that's good news. Do you really think he will bring up the sins that he took upon himself? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he became sin, our sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God. As our judge, do you really think he's going to punish or judge what it was already judged and punished on him? Absolutely not. He took the penalty. The penalty was death. Jesus died. And now we can celebrate that we will never have to face the punishment for our sin. So what can we expect on that day? Man, expect a hug. Maybe a smile and a kiss. We will be treated like him. Not going to be punished for our sins. No record, no film, no shame, no fear, no tears, and no pain. It is going to be a glorious day because our confidence and all of our boast will be in Jesus and what he has done alone. So whatever sin that is tying you up this morning, or whatever past hurt or shame, God is redeeming it all and he's remembering those mistakes. No more. You can forgive yourself because the God of the universe has forgiven you of all of your sins. I remember I was working three jobs in college and I was a youth pastor and my parents lived 2 or 3 hours away. So I never got to go home and I had a little brother. I have a little brother and he was 4 or 5 at the time and I just missed him so much. And so anytime I could get a weekend off, it was rare. And so I got a weekend off and I was so excited to sleep in on that Saturday. So, you know, I go home, get into my bed and I'm just so ready on Friday night. And so Saturday morning comes around and I hear my door sort of rattling and here he comes, my little brother Christian. I mean, it's 6 a.m. That dude gets up. I'm like, who are you? What kind of kid are you? Okay. And so there he is. And he said, Bubba, 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 it's family day. Like, screw family day. What is family day? Like, what's family day? He's like, yeah, Bubba, yeah, we're going to spend every day, all day together. We're going to go to the park. I'm like, dude, what planner do you have? Like, go away. But I mean, he cuddled me. And I mean, how can you deny that, right? And so family day. And so we went to the park, and the next thing I know, we're at the mall, and instead of, like, going in, somehow we ended up at, like, this, there was this rock wall, and he's like, Bubba, Bubba, this is what you need to do. You need to put me on the wall, and you let me jump off. I'm like, okay. So I put him on the wall. That's what big brothers do, right? We get in trouble. So I put him on the wall, and he jumps off into my arms. Again. So I put him up, and he jumps, and we kept doing that time and time again. Why? My little brother, he loved me. He trusted me. And my friends, do you see how good your God is? That every day for him is family day with you. That he's cleared out his entire schedule just to be with you. That he longs for you just to jump off that wall into his arms, to trust him. Because he's good, he's kind, he's loving. In every moment, in every sin, he's reminding you that he is enough and that the cross worked for you. You can trust him. Will you jump in his arms today? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the finished work of the cross, that we are totally forgiven of all our sins, past, present, and future, that we can have confidence before you now and forever. That we can trust you as our good and loving Father. Thank you for every person in here. I pray they would know the worth and the value that they have in you, that they would know the care that you have. I pray that their hearts would just be strengthened and encouraged, and their minds would be renewed just to the truth of who you are and who you've made them. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
They're clapping for you, not for me getting up here. You timed that a little awkwardly, just a little bit. Great to have you with us here today, Zach. And he has two books, and they're both for sale. There's a table in the back. I think one of them is $15, one is $10. If you buy both of them, it's $20. I know you're making Zach feel welcome here today. You're free to stay, hang out for a while, get a chance to chat with Zach. What a great morning, and hope to see you here this evening. God bless you.